Let us turn in the Scriptures to Ephesians chapter 5, and we will read the first 21 verses of Ephesians 5. Be ye therefore followers of God, as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savour. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you, as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another, in the fear of God. Our text for this New Year's Day service is verse 16. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. We have the Lord exhorting us in these verses which are before us to walk as wise, not as fools. Walk circumspectly, he says. That means walk carefully. Walk accurately. Live a life that is marked by carefulness. And the language that is used here suggests that you look before you walk. That you look around you and that you examine yourself, that you examine everything around you carefully, rather than rushing madly about and doing so carelessly. And now in one particular aspect, we should be careful. Very careful. And that is with the use of time. And that is what Paul says in our text, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. And that's the urgent duty which is set before us at the beginning of the year 2006. That's our theme, the urgent duty of redeeming the time. The urgent duty of redeeming the time. First, implies the preciousness of time. It implies the preciousness of time. Secondly, it calls for redeeming that time. And thirdly, it is explained by the evil time. the urgent duty of redeeming the time. First, it implies the preciousness of time. Second, it calls for redeeming that time. And thirdly, it is explained by the evil time. First, then, redeeming the time implies the preciousness of time. Time is precious. Do you know that, boys and girls? Time is precious. And that for various reasons. For one thing, time is precious because it is short. Each minute is short. Each hour is short. Each life is short. Time is not limitless. Time has an end. Each second has a beginning and an end. Each hour has a beginning and an end. Each life has a beginning and an end. Time has a limit. And you know how precious something becomes when it is scarce. You know, in our society, if there is a popular toy, perhaps especially around the time of Christmas, that a popular toy has come out, and you discover that there are only so few in stock, and there are only so few that can be bought, then that toy becomes very precious because it is so scarce. And now time, in a far greater way, is scarce. There's a limit to time. Remember, Scripture tells us that our life is compared to the grass of the field and to the flower of the field. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. But he cannot grow and flourish forever, no, for the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. Psalm 103. And what is your life? James asks. It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then vanisheth away. James 4. It is just a little mist, he says, that appears just for a little time, and then it vanishes away. Time is short. Time is very short, and the purpose of this life is so great. Jesus spoke of one man who thought that life was all about himself. Things were going well in his business. Things were going well in his barn and with his farm. His barns were bursting at the seams. And so what he decided to do is that he would tear down his barns and he would build bigger barns. He would bring in the crop. And then with plenty laid up for years to come, he could take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. But he had forgotten one thing. The brevity of life. The Lord said to him, "Thou fool. This night thy life shall be required of thee." You see, life is not about self. It is not about earthly gain. Life is meant for God, for His glory. We are called to live a life of holiness. We are called to live a life that is directed to heaven and to the honor of God. And because life is so brief and the purpose so great, we should constantly be begging the Lord, "Teach thou us to count our days, and set our hearts on wisdom's ways." Time is precious because it is short. Secondly, time is precious because we don't know how short it is. You and I don't know how much time remains in your life or in my life. Life may be gone before we know it. It may be, dear boys and girls, that you die at a very young age. It may be at the beginning of your life, the Lord says you are going to die. We don't know how brief it is. Or it may be in your youth, dear young people. It may be in the prime of your life that you are snatched away. We don't know if we will finish out this day, do we? How precious would time become if we only knew that we only had 3 hours yet to live. Imagine, boys and girls, there you are at school perhaps one day, and you discover, "I only have 3 more hours to live." Then time becomes precious, doesn't it?
And you see, there are numerous people who may be enjoying health, who may be strong, who may be in the midst of their beauty and in the midst of their prime of their life, and they see no end of life in sight at all, but they may die this year. They may die this month. They may die this day. Should we not count time precious because we don't know how short time is? Thirdly, time is so precious because you cannot get it back. You know, when a young child spills a bowl of dry cereal on the ground, dumps it all over, well, you can pick up each Cheerio and place it back in the bowl. And that cereal can still be eaten. But when time has been spilled, when time has been dumped over, you can never recover it. You can never get it back. Oh, a man, he may lose a great deal of his possessions. He may lose a lot of his money. He may become bankrupt. But a man who becomes bankrupt after some time, he again can prosper, can't he? But here is something that we can never get back. When it is gone forever. No amount of sweat, no amount of tears, no amount of effort will get lost time back. How much time have you lost? Fourthly, time is so precious because of eternity to come. You see, our eternal welfare depends on whether we were wise with our times or whether we're fools with our time. Eternity depends on whether we redeemed the time or not. You see, something of great importance is at stake. Eternity is at stake. Our eternal welfare is at stake. And that eternal state may be one of happiness or misery. It may be heaven or hell. And now we place value on important things, don't we? And that is rightly so. But here is something that we should place much value on, time. Because if we don't use time wisely in this world, then you know that you become a poor person, don't you? You become poor if you don't use your time wisely, because then you fail to work when you should work and when you could work. And so our brief temporary life depends on our use of time. But more importantly, our eternal welfare depends on the use of time, and God has graciously given time. And He has given that time that we would seek to escape the wrath to come, and that we may know to be reconciled with God. That is what God has given time for, primarily. Now, what do you think of time? Is time precious to you, dear congregation? Do you know how precious it is? Here we stand at the beginning of a new year, 2006. And do you count time precious? Do you count the time which lies behind you precious? Even though it's gone. Do you count the time that lies before you precious? Do you count time precious because of eternity which lies before you? You know, sometimes in a newspaper you have a column in which you find described what has been lost. You know, those columns which talk about a lost dog or a lost cat. Well, once somebody wrote that he had lost something in this column. And it went something like this: lost yesterday, between sunrise and sunset, 2 golden hours. Each set with 60 diamond minutes. No reward offered, for they are gone forever. Time is precious. And so Paul calls us to redeem that time, and that is our second point, redeeming time. And now that word redeeming has to do with buying. It has to do with a market, doesn't it? It has to do with buying, buying up. And the picture which is before us is quite familiar to us. Perhaps you know that women, sometimes they go to garage sales. And what do they do at these garage sales? Well, especially if it is a place loaded with good stuff and with bargain deals, a woman sees all these bargain deals, and what does she do? She snatches them up one after another. You see, she doesn't want the opportunities to just slip by, but she uses the opportunity to snatch up the various deals that she finds at the garage sale. And if a husband were to watch her, or the children were to watch their mother at a garage sale, they could barely keep up with their mother because she is out after something, snatching up the precious deals and the bargain deals and all the good stuff. You see, she is set on snatching up bargain deals, as many as she can. Well, that's the picture here. With time. The day is filled with so many opportunities. And we need to snatch up these precious opportunities. And do you do so? Do you see potential bundles of time for you to snatch up? Do you see potential bundles of opportunities in your day? And do you pick them up and do you use them? Redeeming the time. That means time becomes important. You cannot waste it. You cannot let each second slip by. You cannot let each minute just pass by. You cannot let each bundle of time slip by and not pick it up. That means you cannot be idle. That means you cannot be doing nothing. Nor does it mean, of course, that you can spend that precious time in sin. You cannot spend your time walking in the counsel of the ungodly, as Psalm 1 speaks about, nor standing in the way of sinners. You cannot just spend your time loitering around, for time is too precious for that. Nor can you spend your time sitting in the seat of the scornful. You cannot squander your time. You cannot count it as rubbish and nonsense. Oh, how much have you not done so already? How much time has passed by misspent? Isn't that so, dear child of God? Is it not so that in times past, as Paul writes in Ephesians 2, verse 1 and following, that you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. Isn't that so? That there you were, spending your time without God, without Christ, without grace. And what did you do with your time? Be honest. What did you do with your time? You squandered it like the prodigal son squandering all the possessions which his father had given him. You spent it on self. You spent it in sin. You spent it on your fantasies. You spent it in self-chosen ways. You spent it in dreaming. You spent it in sin. But then the Lord showed you your folly. And eternity became real. And that you were headed toward eternity became real. And that you saw that time has limits. Each second has a limit. Each minute has an end. Each hour has an end. And you had a precious soul that needed to be saved before eternity came. And you came to cry to God for mercy. And now, time cannot be wasted anymore, can it? Time must be used. Time must be redeemed. We must be buying up the opportunities, buying up the bundles of time, seeing it as a bargain shopper in a place where there is good stuff and where there are bargain deals. We must be looking for the opportunities and snatching them up, using every opportunity. And we must be such, especially like that woman who came to a great place where there were great sales, but she came an hour later than everyone else. And so she has lost time already, hasn't she? And then she is more earnest and she is more diligent in snatching up the bundles and the precious things that she was wanting to buy. Now that is what we must be doing with our time. Because how much time have we lost already? So for instance, you have 20 minutes before dinner. at home. What are you going to do with those 20 minutes? What are you going to do with that bundle of time which the Lord places before you? Are you going to just let it lie there? Not pick it up? Not use it? Are you going to squander it? Or are you going to use it for good? Are you going to use those 20 minutes that it may have lasting value? Eternal value. What will you do with that 20 minutes? Many, they just fill time. They kill time. That's the language that is used today, isn't it? They pass time. But time must not just be passed. Time must not just be filled. Time must not just be killed. It must be bought, the Lord tells us. And with the Spirit opening our eyes, we see that time must be redeemed. It is a precious bundle that the Lord has given us here in 20 minutes. So opportunities must be sought out, and opportunities must be taken full advantage of, or else no bargain, else the bargain slips out of your hand and you never get it back. Well, what kind of opportunities? Well, let me mention two. The opportunity for salvation, making full use of the means of grace in your closet. You have a closet, don't you, where you seek the Lord? The Lord gives you time to go into that closet, doesn't He? The beginning of the day, at the end of day, and perhaps throughout the day, for salvation in the house of God. When the Lord gives you a Sabbath day like He gives you today, and He gives you a whole day to come under His Word and to seek for your eternal welfare, shall I squander the Sabbath day? Shall I squander it with carelessness? Shall I squander it just going about through the day, going through some motions? Shall I not recognize that God from heaven is speaking to me, and He is addressing my soul, and He is seeking the glory of His name? Shall I not seek the glory of His name too? And He is seeking the welfare of my soul. Shall I not seek the welfare of my soul too? How shall I loiter on this day? How shall I loiter at the market of salvation which the Lord gives me, and not buy up this day, buy without money and without price when He speaks? Let me mention a second opportunity. Salvation is one. Service is a second. Making full use of the time which God gives me to serve in the home, or at school, or at work. Here the Lord gives you and I time to serve. We are privileged to serve. Shall I squander my time where the Lord has placed me? Shall I squander my time in my home with my children or with my parents? Shall I squander the time in the place of employment? And is it not so that each day numerous opportunities of service pass which never can be bought again? Does that mean I become a workaholic? Not at all. For a workaholic has an idol, doesn't he? Himself, his work, his money. But a Christian is not a workaholic. He is a servant who has been placed in a particular place. And there where the Lord has placed him, he must use that time well to the honor of the Lord. And a Christian realizes that he has only some brief hours to work diligently. And he has some brief hours to be with his family. And he has some brief time to speak to his children about their need. He has some brief time to help in someone's need. He has some brief time to serve the Lord. And it must be done heartily unto the Lord. And it must be a redeeming of the time. And when the day comes to a close and those opportunities haven't been bought up, they are lost, never to come again. Now think of this past year, the year 2005. which ended about 10 hours ago. How did you spend your time in the last year? How did you spend last year? Is what the Apostle Paul calling for, is that describe you last year? You were one redeeming the time. And think of your entire past life. How many months have you lived? We live between 500 and 700 months. How many months have you lived already? Probably a great number of months. What have you done with those months? How many days have you lived? What have you done with those days? And each day was made up with golden time, precious diamond minutes. What have you done with each nugget of time? What do you have to show of improvement made for the time that God gave you? Of good that has been done? Of benefit that has been received? How many Sabbaths did you enjoy, dear friends? And what have you done with all of those Sabbaths? Do you see how many opportunities God gives you? How many opportunities He gives you to encourage a fellow pilgrim on the way to eternity? How many opportunities He gives you to warn the unconverted and to urge them to seek the Lord? How many opportunities He has given to you to help others and to lend a helping hand? To seek the welfare of others and to seek above all the welfare of your soul? Do you redeem the time? When you have nothing to do, what do you think about doing? Do you think about passing the time, filling the time, killing the time? Or do you see there a bundle of opportunity that the Lord has given for you to snatch up and to redeem? Are you a time waster or a time redeemer? Now the Lord has given us to enter a new year, and what are you going to do with the time of this new year? How will you spend your days? 365. How will you spend the months? How will you spend the year? How will you spend the Sabbath? How will you spend each moment of time? How much may be done in one year? How much good can be done in such a space of time? How much time the Lord graciously, generously gives to you for your soul? How much time He gives you to serve Him? And how much good can be done in a single day? Will you spend it well? Will you use it well? What will you do with it? It has been said, give me a Christian who counts his time more precious than gold. Are you such a one? Joseph Alain, that great Puritan, who wrote an alarm to the unconverted, said at the beginning of each week, another week is before us. Let us spend this week for God. Well, here another year lies before us. And do you say, let us spend this year for God? You see, this text has to do with wisdom or folly. It has to do with whether we belong to the wise or whether we belong to the fools. Whether we will spend our time wisely or foolishly. What will you show? To which class do you belong in this year 2006? You know, we all have to give an account of the time which God has given us. Would you not spend your day differently when you knew that at the end of the day you had to give an account for that day to God? If after a day of work and the evening comes, If you knew that after those brief hours in the evening you had to give an account to God, would you not spend your evening differently? Would you not use your time differently? You know that the Lord Jesus has said that for every idle word we have to give an account to God. Must we not give an account too for each moment of time? And for all the time that has been misspent, redeeming the time. And now the apostle also gives us a reason for this duty. And that's our third point, that this call is explained by the evil time. Redeeming the time, he says, for the days are evil. And when if we look into a little bit of those times, and we look into a little bit of it from the book of the Paul writes to the Ephesians, then we find it sufficiently described in chapter 4, verse 17 to 19, to see what these days were like. There he says, walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. Do you see it described here? The time in which Paul was writing this letter was a time marked by immorality. A time of sin and relishing it.
Now, was that the only time that was evil?
Was it so that actually Paul was writing at the worst time in the history of the world? And it only had to do with that time when Paul is writing to these Ephesians? No, of course not. We find the days evil after Genesis 3. And the days evil in Genesis 6, where the Lord saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. The days were evil. Sodom and Gomorrah, the days are evil. The days of the judges, the days are evil. And since then, still the days are evil. The days in which we live are evil days. For what marks our days? Sin, hatred, immorality, selfishness, at every turn and at every level, adultery and whoredom. That is not considered to be a breaking of God's law. It is not even considered to be a breaking of bad manners. It's dreadful. Good is called evil and evil is called good. Do you know that the days in which we live are evil? Do you ever feel something of that? That the days are evil. But have you seen with Jacob as he saw at the end of his life, few and evil have the days of my life been? Ah, you say, come now. The days are not that bad. The days are innocent days, harmless days. Really? I know, that's what some people say. Many people say. They say that the days are wonderful. They've never been better, they say. What do people say? Never had it so good. There's plenty of work, plenty of money, plenty of freedoms, plenty of everything. The Christian says the days are evil. Why? Because what is valuable is made valueless. What is significant is made insignificant. What is precious is considered rubbish. Or think only of marriage. Something so precious that men throw it away, count it as rubbish. Think about life. So precious. But men throw it away with an abortion, saying it's rubbish. And now, does our world not do that with time too? Taking something which is precious and saying it means nothing. Here, live it up. Fill up your time. Kill the time. It is not precious. And is that not what you and I face? the destruction of the value of time, that time is not so important, and that's how many travel then to eternity, without a care of the preciousness of time, without a care for their souls, and they want you and me to travel just like them, to ignore the seriousness of life, to go on in worldly pursuits in sin. But whatever you do, ignore the seriousness of time and the preciousness of time, and just use it for sin. The value of time is destroyed. And that is what you and I breathe in and day out. Soul destructive pollutants.
The value of time is destroyed. That's what makes the days evil.
And that is how many pass their brief life, their brief day, without realizing how precious time is, without seeing how short time is, without seeing how uncertain time is, without realizing how much depends on the use of our time. But this is a lesson, dear friends, that will be learned by all. It will be either learned in this life, or it will be learned after this life. For then those who have wasted their brief life and have wasted the brief time with everything and nothing, then they will be convinced of the preciousness of time, but then it will be a lesson which is learned too late. And then the cry of many will be, as Jonathan Edwards says, "Oh, for 1,000 worlds, for an inch of time." But there will be no more inch of time, but eternity. And for time wasters, it will be an eternity outside. Redeeming the time, for the days are evil. The days are evil, and what am I prone to do? I am prone to join in with the evil days. And I am prone to let my evil heart convince me that time is not precious, and that time can be wasted, and that time can be filled, and it can be killed. It doesn't matter. Has the Lord shown you something of your evil heart? That you are prone to go along with the evil times? Or do you remember a time when you did not give a thought about the preciousness of time? Do you remember that when you lived on without a care about time? Has the Lord uncovered you to the urgency of the short time that you have? Has the Lord opened your eyes to see the urgency of this brief life? Has the Lord opened your eyes to show you what you have done with the time that He has given you? How you have wasted it, and how you have to give an account for each moment of time, and that you have only one life to live, and that you must be reconciled to God. You see, we need the Lord, don't we, to teach us. We need the Lord. When we hear of this duty to redeem the time, we need to be taught by the Lord the preciousness of time, the shortness of this life, the uncertainty of this life. And we need Him to teach us how to spend it rightly, how to buy up the opportunities which He gives. We need the Lord, don't we? For of ourselves, we don't reckon with the preciousness of time. We count these nuggets of time rubbish and throw them away. We need heavenly resources in order to buy up the time which He gives. We need the Spirit to direct us. We need Him to impress these things upon our heart. We need the Lord to take us by the hand into the school of grace, and there to teach us something of the day of grace, and to show us of the righteousness of Christ, who always used His time well, who never wasted His time, but spent His days from the early moment of His life to the end of His life, redeeming time. And His righteousness covers the unrighteousness of time wasters. And He also gives His Holy Spirit so that we begin to imitate this Christ. And we begin to walk by faith also when it comes to time and not by sight. We need His grace. Do we also apply to Him for His grace? Do we also apply to Him to be enrolled in the school of grace? Take this to heart, dear congregation. Let me urge this duty upon you, yet with some practical directions, as Jonathan Edwards also gave in a sermon to his congregation. Redeem the time, and do so without delay. Don't put it off. Another moment, for then more precious time will go lost. Do not speak of a more convenient season to come when you are older, for you need to feel the preciousness of time now. And if you don't feel it now, you may never feel it. Follow the example of the psalmist who said, I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. Redeem the time, secondly, especially those times which are most precious. All time is precious, isn't it? All of life is precious, but there are some parts of time which are more precious than others. Some opportunities which are greater than others. Remember, you stand at the market, don't you? And you have to make full use of the best bargains, also when it comes to the market of time. And Jonathan Edwards says there are two times that are most precious. One is Sabbath. Spend these days well. Do not let the Sabbath day pass in carelessness. Let it not pass in wandering thought. Let it not pass taken up with sleep. Make the most use of the Sabbath days for your soul's good. How dreadful it will be to go to hell loaded with sermons, having been given numerous Sabbaths and never having improved them. And a second time that is most precious, the time of youth. Let not the years of youth go to waste, dear young people. Do not let these precious days slip by without redeeming them. Use the youth, the years in your youth, to seek eternal life, to seek to be reconciled to God, to seek to know Christ, to seek to know the work of the Holy Spirit. The time of your youth is especially the time when the Spirit strives with sinners. How dreadful it is to waste those years. Oh, I know what the devil says. The devil says, you're young only once. And you are still young, so you've got plenty of time. There's no need to haste now. There's no need to seek salvation now. You can do so later. But you know what he says to those who have squandered their youth and wake up someday in their adulthood and they begin to see something of the preciousness of time. Then the devil says something too, and he says, ah, you squandered your youth. It's too late to seek the Lord. Both are lies. But the time of our youth must be the time especially to seek after the Lord. And do you not see here the need to awake out of our sleep, as the apostle has said in some previous verses, that we need to arouse ourselves and to be in earnest in order to obtain eternal life? And thirdly, redeem the time, especially the time free from work, free from school, which is called perhaps leisure time. Redeem that time especially. For when we are free from our daily work, you know what the Lord is giving us? He is giving us a bundle of time for our soul. And do not spend that time unprofitably. Jonathan Edwards says, don't waste them in unprofitable visits or useless diversions or useless amusements. Improve each minute that God gives you, especially for the well-being of your soul. Redeem the time. And does that not mean that with Christian and Pilgrim's Progress, we must put our fingers in our ears, and we must run from the city of destruction, crying, life, life, eternal life. Soon time will be exchanged for eternity. Soon it will be over. In Revelation 10, we find an angel standing upon the sea and the earth, making an oath. And he lifted up his hand to heaven and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created the heaven and the things that are therein, and the earth and the things that are therein, and the earth and the sea and the things that are therein. And this was his oath, that there should be time no longer. Amen.